Everything as a Service Journal is an online publication built to help technology solution providers identify and quickly tap into new sources of recurring revenue. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the ZazzCast, a podcast brought to you by Everything as a Service Journal. I'm Mike Monticello, co-founder of Everything as a Service Journal, and with me here today is Jay McCall, my partner and co-founder. Jay?
Hi, Mike. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well as can be expected, healthy and safe, along with my friends and family. So what more could I ask for?
Yeah, same here. I know that this coronavirus has been a topic on everyone's mind. In fact, today we're going to be talking about that, in particular, how it's impacting managed services providers and their customers who are primarily small to mid-sized businesses. These companies have been disproportionately affected by this pandemic. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of the larger organizations are better equipped from a technology standpoint to deal or pivot their business model, but we're seeing a lot of SMBs shutting down and they need assistance with security and remote access and communications so they can stay in touch with their employees as well as continue to serve their customers. And with MSP's help, they can still function at some level.
Yeah. And now that the whole country is, you know, really being so dramatically affected by the coronavirus pandemic, we wanted to take a moment here in this podcast to learn about how MSPs are helping their customers get through this difficult time, while also keeping themselves safe, because that's important as well.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm excited for our listeners to meet our guest today. His name is Joshua Liberman. He's the president of Net Sciences, an MSP based in Albuquerque, New Mexico. He's been in business for 24 years. Josh was also a board member of the ASCII Group, which is the oldest and largest group of independent IT solution providers, integrators, MSPs, and VARs in the world. As you'll hear, Joshua is on the front lines of dealing with this pandemic and helping guide his customers. Let's take a listen to our conversation. Hi, Joshua. Thanks for joining us today on the ZazzCast.
Sure. Thanks for asking me to join.
Hey, I know that, you know, with so much going on in our country right now with this coronavirus outbreak, we see businesses shutting down all over the country and, you know, people being told about social distancing. And, you know, certainly that's having, you know, a massive impact on the country as we try to flatten the curve and slow down the spread of this virus. I appreciate coming on the podcast today. I've really want to share with our listeners, you know, what you're doing, what your company is doing, and how you're pivoting and helping your customers to get through this difficult period. So with that said, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your business?
Sure. I'm Joshua Liberman, L-I-B-E-R-M-A-N, with Net Sciences. And we've now been in business 25 years. We're expecting to be in business for quite a few more. This is the most interesting and suddenly challenging issue I've seen. However, at the moment, I think we're really focused more on trying to make sure that our clientele remains in business, which of course is all part of the ecosystem we need to thrive on. The focus of my business up till this past 2 weeks or so has always been primarily an on-premise infrastructure and support. We are MSPs, deriving roughly 80% of our earnings from that model. And we did make that transition 10 years ago, which was early in New Mexico, if not the United States. I'd say that in the last 5 years, we've become extremely focused on security, but that's a little bit like saying that as a fish, I've become focused on water. Yeah, if we don't, I mean, there will be no surviving MSPs, even without this complicating factor, in a few years, if they're not heavily security focused. I haven't made the leap to MSSP because I enjoy providing broader support than just security-related services, but that may be coming. So I'd say that if we want to jump into a discussion of our response to COVID, you can let me know.
Yeah, you know, one thing, I guess, before we get into that, tell me a little bit about, like, your typical customer that your firm services.
Well, I guess the most typical aspect of them is that they have no clue about IT. We have only two sites that have an IT person, And each of those people used to work for me. One went over there a couple of years ago and one maybe mm-hmm. a few years before that. So they've all been kind of schooled by us, and they are quote unquote co-managed IT sites with all due deference to Bob Coppedge. So they are sites that we've been working that way for years. But other than them, there's nobody there that can spell TCP/IP. And there are very few people that understand even the most basic concepts of IT. So essentially, we're there to turn those businesses or those IT infrastructures into black boxes for them. And there's a lot of advantages to that, but there are some disadvantages as well.
Okay, gotcha. So these are smaller businesses. So yeah. Approximately 20 employees or even smaller than that? Or
I think our median size is probably in the 20 in the 30 range, but that's
okay
because we have a couple of large outliers. The typical site, to be more specific, is probably 10 to 15 users. The demographics of New Mexico place 99% of all businesses more than that under 100 users and 97% under 20. And when I say users, I mean employees. So gotcha. We have sites with 100 employees, but 15 computer users or 70 and 10. So they're very small computer plants, if you'll pardon that expression. I'd say that more than half of our businesses have less than 15 users.
Okay, gotcha. And any particular vertical markets that these customers fall into?
So over the years, we did indeed have a pretty strong focus in architecture, CAD, engineering, and design. That has dissipated. And at this point, even though it's our number one most common vertical, it's only makes up 20% of our business. So in my opinion, if a vertical isn't more than half of what you do, it's not really a vertical. So I'll make that a really long no.
Okay, great. So trying to get a sense of how has the this coronavirus pandemic impacted your customers? I mean, like what percent of them had to shut down completely versus what percentage of them are still operating?
So honestly, I don't know of anybody that's shut down completely yet. The very smallest of our sites, whom I expected to fold their cards, partly because of this and partly because they were close to retirement age anyway, they may still do so. And I want to caution that it's very early for us to know. We bill monthly, as most MSPs do, which means Wednesday will go out April's bills for May's services. By the middle of April, I'll know a heck of a lot more than I know right now for any number of reasons. But the bottom line right here is that as of yet, we've lost no businesses. Only had one or two mention that they're going to have significant layoffs. And I'm hopeful that the recently announced CARES package and in particular the Paycheck Protection Program will have a strong psychological effect on folks, because the reality is small businesses don't buy or plan or behave based on what's happened in the last year. They buy, plan, and behave based on what they think will happen in the next few months. And unlike large organizations, they don't have fixed budgets. Of all the sites I've discussed with us, only two have an IT budget. Otherwise, they just thrash. Now, we plan a budget for them and we present it to them, but that's one of those semantic issues, because if they don't fund a budget, in my mind, that's not a budget, but in their mind, it's a budget. So the bottom line is they're not planning yet. They're still reacting. We only have 20% of our seats at most working remotely so far. And I've been brutally pushing for 3 weeks. Let's get this done. One of the things we did first is announce that we would provide free remote access. Can I mention vendors at all here?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We're working with TrueGrid to provide a proxied RDS service because, in my opinion, and it was something we had begun to do in January anyway, it's the safest way to connect unknown tangos, you know, OSs and machines that we've never seen before, quite suddenly connected to a network. Proxied and scanned RDS traffic is probably the best option for that. So that's what we rolled out. We provided that service instead of $5 or $10 a month per user. It's free. And wisely, perhaps or not, I also offered to set it up for free for all of our existing clientele. And that has kept us extremely busy for some time. So I think we're now entering our fourth week of setting that up, although it really didn't light up until last week.
So just so I understand, so is this enabling your customers to work from home, but still have like secure access to their enterprise applications and data? Is that what the TrueGrid is, or is that something different?
Yeah, you can think of it as a wrapper around an RDS or RDP client that takes you through to your desktop, replacing a gateway server. It essentially, they become the gateway. So you make a connection to their server farm, and then from there, connect through with that RDS client to the desktop, or conceivably even laptop, as the target in the office. So for all the people who are suddenly working from home, this gives them direct one-to-one connectivity to their machine. It can be set up for connectivity to multiple machines from a single remote machine as well. But you can basically, it's like having, it's almost as if you had an opening in your firewall, which we have never done, and you moving your traffic through their server, carefully scanned and cleansed through to the remote machine, I'm sorry, through to the target machine, the remote in your home, the target in your office.
Gotcha.
So it's a proxied pathway to the use of an RDS client across, wrapped around a TrueGrid shell. The bottom line is it's a little complicated to set up. It takes about a half hour at the back end and about 10 to 20 minutes, depending on the user, per user, but it cleans the traffic. It has integrated two-factor authentication, including push if you use their app. So anyway, it's quite useful, and that has been our go-to answer. We did have 10 or 20 remote users on SLVPN. Those people are still using that solution. They're all SonicWall endpoint, net extenders they're called. I did turn off the beeps and the sounds on this machine, but apparently it doesn't cover everything. Sorry about that. I'm going to have to shut down Teams because it's going to just light up. All right, it's shut down. So anyway, the bottom line is, yes, we do. We have an immediate response there. And I guess what I really want to express is that much like you hear on an airliner, you need to get your own mask in place first. And that's what I did. I sat down with everybody. I explained to them they'll be working from home. We had that ready. We had voice over IP phones. We had TrueGrid or SLVPN remote access. We had everything I could think of to make this happen. However, I also needed to calm them down personally. And my choice was to give them an immediate extra paycheck. I recommend they get a little bit of that in cash. And just calm down. Just not be worried. And once that ended, once I got that handled, the next step was to actually do the same for my clients. No paychecks, but to calm them down, because we had a lot of people really panicking. It is calming down. I think that a lot of our sites will probably not continue if this goes past April, and I expect that it will.
Okay, good. Hey, I just want to ask, so you mentioned earlier, I think you said like about 20% of your customers are set up with this remote access. Is that right? Was that before the coronavirus outbreak? You had that many people using it?
No, we only had about 20 users. I don't think we had more than 5% of our seats working remotely. I'm sure we didn't. More than 20, but yeah, under 5% of our seats had remote access, and it was primarily business principals or secondaries, managers and principals. But that did explode. What it didn't do is explode linearly, which is an interesting analogy to what we're seeing with COVID. I tried to get people to understand this is going to have to happen. We made it free right away. I think it was March 10th I offered that. But we still didn't get people off the dime. They were too worried about everything else to actually think through how they were going to continue to run their business. That has changed, and we're probably got close to 10 times as many remote users now. But even that is, I'm sorry, close to 4 times. But even that's a very small number. And I don't know if people are still in denial or if there's really that many people that are truly not going to be working. I'm hoping it's the former and not the latter.
Okay. Like you said earlier, it's maybe too early still to tell. We'll probably have a better idea in a couple of weeks with where this is all heading and what this means for these individual companies, how they're going to pivot and continue working.
Yeah, I'm expecting our remote workload to peak in the next week or two, and I'm expecting people to figure out what's going to happen to their businesses just not long after that. I think mid-April will be a big inflection point. It's really going to come down to how people pay their bills and how I react to that. We have to figure out some accommodations. I'm also a landlord, and I have to figure out how to do accommodations for that in an apartment building. And there's all kinds of things we have to figure out, as everyone else does. I mean, we're all just playing this by ear, and it's just one nationwide giant improv chorus right now.
Yeah. So how is your MSP continuing to work while practicing social distancing? Like for instance, like how many people would typically be in your office, and talk about how that's changed, or what practices have you had to change and adapt to with this coronavirus outbreak?
Well, there's only five of us in total, and one of us always works remote, or nearly always.
Okay.
Now, there's only one of us in the office, and I happen to have bought this building 1 year and 2 months ago, and it's quite large for us. It's 4,700 square feet, of which we occupy about the front 60%. So there's a lot of rattle around room right now, and there was already a lot of room. We had conference room, showroom, shop, all of which were quite large, and then we had individual offices, and in the back of the building, which is unoccupied, many more offices. So there's plenty of social distancing. I mean, I'm pretty much here, and that's it. The remote work wasn't really much of a challenge. Again, VoIP phones, remote access, Teams, email, cell phones. I think that ultimately it's likely that at least one of these players will become the second full-time remote worker. I think he just thrives in that situation. And it may very well change how we go forward. I might even eventually lease out most of the building and just take small offices up front. It's again, very early to tell. And I don't want to end up being caught rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. So I'm going to leave the deck chairs where they are for now. I had a very good time finally cleaning the office to my high standards. And this is one clean place right now. But that week has passed. It's kind of interesting. I didn't expect to experience something this challenging in the years of my business. And if I did, I didn't expect it to come up this fast. But it's not bad. I mean, so far as I can tell, if my clientele behaves largely like we do, which is to keep our head and lean on years of reserves, they should be okay. I just don't know if they will behave that way. Most of our clients don't have new businesses, and they have had many years to build up reserves. Some of them have large enough organizations that, and they're in construction and related industries, that they simply have to do temporary layoffs. But once again, the Paycheck Protection Program might be enough to keep people from acting more rashly.
Yeah.
Those that do will cause others around them to do. And as you know, there'll be a cascade effect and a very steep curve once again, which is a phrase we hear all the time nowadays.
Hey, I was wondering if you can share any specific examples, and certainly we don't have to, you know, mention any customers by name. I know that, you know, everyone's going through a difficult time, and we don't need to highlight any, you know, particular difficulties a company's going through, but any examples of what you're seeing in terms of, you know, companies struggling and how you've been able to calm them down or alleviate them or help get them into a better frame of mind throughout this process?
Sure. Well, the first thing was communications. March 10th or earlier, I started writing about this to folks. And then I picked up the phone, and I have spoken to as many people as I can each week, that week, the following one, and last. And I certainly will this week as well. So I think the communications, including personal communications, we're a small enough company with a small enough user base that I can make the time in any one day to speak to everybody if I need to at least one or two people at each site. So that's been helpful. And being a generally calm, even-keeled person, I think, helps, although I'm sure I'm less so than I was a month ago. It's helpful, you know, to just remain calm. And I've also noted that a lot of times there's an excellent trick when you negotiate or work with people who are upset, and you need to do two things right away. First of all, let them vent. If people call up angry and they're yelling at you, and that does happen, although oddly not around this yet, you need to let them finish. And then You need to give them a few seconds of silence. They need the time to calm down, to regain control of their breathing, and hopefully to actually hear in their own heads the fact that they just yelled about you, which is usually about something you had no control over, at least in my experience. And giving them that space and time to vent and spin down, and that might be 10 or 15 seconds of silence, usually does more than anything else you can for the rest of the conversation. The next conversation is usually better. But the bottom line is, I've been letting people tell me where they're going, share their fears, their concerns, perhaps is a better word, and their hopes about this, and talk with them sanely and rationally. As we're speaking, an email came in, somebody called in that demanded to speak to me immediately. And he's a business owner. They were only a 5-user site, and they own restaurants, and I have no doubt what he's calling about. But I think that if he waits 45 minutes for my call back, he'll be in a better frame of mind than the moment that he inflamed and got angry that I couldn't pick up the phone instantly. He's a very good guy, and I've known him 30 years. We've actually worked for him 30 years. Even though NetSciences is 25 years old, the business I had before that, I ran for 5 years and then incorporated as NetSciences, he was our first customer.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I know who he is. I know what's on his mind, I'm pretty sure. And I'm hopeful that we'll have a good discussion. And it's entirely possible that he's going to fold his cards. He was one of those people that was ready to retire, I believe, or at least considering it. So we'll see where that goes. But whatever we can do, we'll do.
Yeah, you know, I think about in particular the restaurant vertical that probably same in your area as ours. You know, you see a lot of so dine-in is completely shut down, and basically it's the restaurants that had some kind of delivery service or were able to quickly pivot and start offering that that the ones that are surviving. I'm just curious if you have other customers in that situation in the restaurant vertical, and if so, are as an MSP, are you able to help them to make that kind of a pivot?
So we don't, fortunately. They were the only restaurant and hospitality organization we had, although up until the end of February, actually the first half of March, we had another organization that had three small casual dining places. They were in the midst of transitioning away from us for money problems anyway. They had found somebody that did all you can eat for $50 a month, and that's not something on our menu. They were moving away anyway, and we helped them make that transition because they selected somebody at a lower operational maturity level who didn't have the tools and the skills that we do. No commentary on how he runs his business. It may be very well run for all I know, but he didn't know what a lot of really basic things were that we do, because we don't really have a basic way to do things. We're almost an all in terms of security kind of place. So we helped them migrate. And then we waived their final bill on March 16th. And I got to tell you, the call I got immediately after that from the de facto manager and owner of that business was very heartrending. We've known him 20 years, and he was incredibly apologetic about having to move away from us and incredibly grateful about us waiving $1,300 of billing. And that was before COVID hit. It was hitting already. It was closing down his restaurants. They have another unrelated business, which was also suffering financially. We knew they were going. So with the loss of with his loss, and then presumably this other restaurant loss, however, that's still well under 10% of our revenue, maybe even only 6 or 8. So that's not threatening. And they were very marginal businesses that were moving towards their twilights, whether or not they knew it anyway. So nothing shocking is happening to us yet. But as I said, I think April is a month of reckoning. I've built my business for 25 years on the premise, and it took a while, it took 15 years, that we would have to survive 6 months with no income, or we would be able to, survive that way. And we were almost there, very much on the edge. And hopefully we won't find out what 6 months of no income is like, but we might find out what 6 months of half income is like if things get really tough. And we can make it. The question is, what's what is it? What will it look like on the other side? Who will come back to full force? What will it be like to have five people to support half this many seats? It will be interesting. I'm not really sure where we're going to go. But in the short term, we are going to carry on in the highest possible style.
How about, you know, I know as an MSP, you work with a lot of different technology vendors. You mentioned, you know, one earlier, as well as probably industry associations and other maybe peer groups. I was wondering if you can talk about any examples of any of those types of relationships, any particular that have been especially helpful during this time for you, for your business.
Well, so I'll start with the associations so I don't forget. ASCII is the top of the list, 25 years there, an organization of about 1,300 service providers, mostly MSPs in the IT space that have both, or used to have both real world and now virtual meetings, and everything from an online form to peer groups to buying discounts to marketing programs, all kinds of co-op and other structures that we do together. It's incredibly helpful because we can actually share information about how we're managing this whole mess, tech information, management information, vendor specific, HR stuff. It's basically a virtual bar that everybody stands up there and shares information at. So that's been really helpful and very well appreciated. I'm also a member of three other groups from the Tech Tribe, which is really an international group, to the IT buyers, business owners group, and the IT owners compass groups, actually in everything MSP as well. So all of those have had anywhere from weekly to daily online meetings where MSPs discuss their situations. And then a couple of them have even thrown up the occasional virtual happy hour, which I believe I attended Saturday evening in my finest bathrobe from home. So it's been very helpful. It's been as much psychological assistance as anything else, but it's been great. I haven't reached out to our vendors for anything extra yet. We have been maintaining our status with everybody so far. That may change in April. I've got to say that TrueGrid came through for me with a phenomenal deal on their product that I couldn't ever have asked for better. And we're actually working now with Solutions Granted, who's our master provider for Cylance, which is our chosen endpoint. And they're actually, they threw in a service, they made an offering to upgrade your service with 24/7 backend NOC services as regards endpoint protection and the ability to automatically block access to the network for any compromised client while they have time to get in there and work with you to remediate it. So that is something we're probably going to enable, just not everything all at once. The hardest thing for people is change and attachment. And everybody's attached to how it used to be and how they used to do things. We still have people mailing us checks. They won't go to ACH because they're attached to the fact that they've always used checks. So in moving people's cheese too quickly, we're going to end up with a lot of people where the cheese might slide off the cracker, and I will now let that analogy go. But anyway, you have to be careful. You have to manage this change. To me, the single biggest and most important thing is that vendors communicate with us as we communicate with them. I don't know if we're going to come around and ask for discounts or abeyances, you know, extensions. I don't know what's going to happen to us that way. I don't know what our seat count is going to look like in 4 weeks, 8 weeks, and 12 weeks. But it's hard to imagine it'll go up in 3 months. It is not hard to imagine it could go up in 6 to 9 months. There will be a lot of smaller $50 a seat MSPs that won't weather this storm. And some of their clientele that remain intact will be out there in the market. It will be interesting to see if we as MSPs can educate them and make them understand why $50 a seat for something that probably should cost $160 isn't necessarily a good thing. So there's a lot of changes coming, a lot of consolidations from airlines all the way down to fast food joints. And I don't clearly see that future. I only see that it's changing.
Sure. Hey, another thing I've been, you know, seeing some reporting on is an uptick in, you know, malware and phishing schemes related to the outbreak, whether it's, you know, purporting to come from some news agency about like an update on the COVID-19, but then, you know, behind the scenes is you know, launching some kind of malware. I'm wondering with that specifically, have you or any of your clients been experiencing that yet? Or is that also, do you think, is it too early to tell if that's a real trend right now?
Oh, no, it's not too early to tell. 3 weeks ago, we noticed an uptick. It's, according to some sources, it's as much as 670% up. What I can say without good metrics, with just a qualitative feel, is that it's at least doubled or tripled. We can see that simply by the number of captured messages. We use Mail Protector for that, and they have a pretty good interface for us to look at that. And I do take a stroll down those messages for the most part. We don't have our rules very tight. We don't have it highly sensitive. So there's some leakage, some false negatives there, but I prefer that to false positives for our people. I may change my mind very soon, but yeah, we can see a huge uptick in that. We can also see, I know that there's a huge uptick in bogus charity and bogus sites for people to collect money for COVID and other related relief, which is horrifying and predictable. Yeah. So there's been a leap. Each day I have written a new email to the folks we support talking about one of the things we're doing. We extended our hours from 8 to 5 on our basic plan to 8 to 8 to allow people to have time to get support in the evening. My guys are very good about working from home. They enjoy being home so much that the extended hours aren't so painful. I think the extra pay probably helped too. But that we've done that. And one of the things I've written about 3 times so far is about this big uptick in these. But honestly, virtually all of my fears for these remote users come down to these unknown machines, these tangos out there that they're now using to do daily business from. They're sharing profiles with their kids and their wives, and their wives are sharing with their husbands or whoever the ownership is. And they're doing all the things we would never normally allow, but we simply haven't enough time to address. And of course, we don't have rock solid remote access to these machines because they weren't managed machines, because they didn't have anything to do with the business 3 weeks ago. So that's the biggest challenge. I've been trying to roll together. I think we're probably going to end up with DNS filter agents and Cylance clients on the vast majority of these new protected machines, but we have to be very careful, because you probably know at some level that even if we're playing with a 15-year-old machine that's been upgraded from XP to 7 to 10, anything we do is going to be whatever caused any problem they have for the next 5 years. It's risky. I have asked people to consider the purchase of a dedicated machine, business owners for their home. But it should be no surprise we haven't had anybody take us up. Well, we've had few take us up. I even brought in a bunch of notebooks at the beginning of March, and I'm still sitting on most of them because people are just terrified to write a check or click a button right now.
Yeah, interesting. Hey, I'm curious, you know, Joshua, with everything that you've been going through here related to COVID-19, are there any, you know, best practices or lessons learned that maybe you haven't talked about that you'd like to kind of share with our listeners, if, you know, as they're trying to, you know, better serve their clients and keep their businesses, MSP practices running too?
Well, I think you've probably already heard a lot of these around the community. If you're community members, you've heard this from your organizations. But if you're not, again, put your masks on first. Make sure that your staff is stable and try to support them emotionally and, of course, financially. But try to keep the team morale and spirit going. Have morning, or we're having twice a day, 15-minute meetings, 8 o'clock and 4 o'clock each day. We go through what we have to and what the guys want to. And that 15-minute meeting sometimes is 45 because they want to talk about stuff. Make sure that they have the tools. Everybody had a laptop. Everybody had TrueGrid. Everybody had a phone. All of this is company owned. Everybody had a voice over IP phone in their office that they took home. Everybody has a sonic wall with services turned up in their homes. Everybody had the basics, managed wireless, et cetera, to begin with, because I already wanted my staff to be able to work remotely, not necessarily because of a case like this, but just something I wanted them to be able to do. So that helped. But that's not the same thing as keeping them engaged and letting them know what's going on and copying them on your communications to your clientele. I always copy these guys on tech stuff, but I wasn't always copying them on the admin or the general glad handing, if you will, of the way that we deal with people to keep them engaged as clients. But now my guys see all of this and they feel much more like they're part of it. And as a matter of fact, I've given them the authority to go ahead and write communications, bounce them off me, and then push them out individually as well, so that people get our clients get a sense of the team and not just me, which is something I probably should have done a long time ago. The other thing to keep in mind is that if you do get to the point where you're going to have to consider staff reductions, you probably want to think about whether it makes sense to cut hours, cut from 40 to 32 hours, maintain benefits, for example. Or if you have a very weak player, maybe that's the right call. I have too small a staff to contemplate that in the short term. And even though we're going to probably get quiet by the end of April, I think things will settle down. Our initiatives will be executed. People will be used to remote work. I would very strongly hesitate to let anybody go, but it's at least possible. I'll have to consider reduced hours. It's at least possible. I'll have to consider other things, working with vendors, or maybe even taking advantage of the government loan/grant, the PPP. We'll see where that all goes.
Excellent. Well, yeah, I really appreciate you taking time to talk with us today, and just want to wish you and your business the best success, especially through this difficult time. And would love to bring you back on at a later time and get an update on things as this progresses.
I have no problem responding to that. I expect to be answering the phones for some time to come, so not to mention email. So reach out as you see fit.
All right. Thanks again, Joshua. Have a great rest of your week.
Wow. All right. So yeah, you can really hear that Joshua is busy dealing with urgent requests from customers and employees. Clearly, many of his customers are looking for guidance. And not surprisingly, a big part of his focus is helping his customers work remotely. So it's really nice to hear that vendors offering those technologies are making their offerings available at a reduced cost or even free right now.
I agree. I think remote work as we know it is going to change forever. And sadly, I think we're going to see cyber criminals taking advantage of this situation. And because a lot of the computers people are using at home aren't nearly as well secured as their work computers. So that'll be a big challenge for MSPs like NetSciences and others to contend with.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, great interview. So thanks again to Joshua Liberman from NetSciences for joining us. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on a future episode, send an email to podcast@xaasjournal.com. As a reminder, our publication's goal is to help IT solution providers identify and quickly tap into new sources of recurring revenue. For more information or to sign up for our free newsletter, visit xaasjournal.com. Thanks and have a great day.